What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Super excited today. I'm Kyle Corbliss, and today I get to welcome in Jade Eagleson. Dude, thanks for coming to hang out with me. I'm really excited to talk about your new record and kind of talk about your story. I've been a fan since, I'd say, probably 2020. When you put out that group of songs and that self-titled project there, like that was probably my first introduction to you, with Hacking Darts and some good stuff there. So thanks for coming to hang with me. I'm excited to get to talk to you a little bit.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So why don't we start by... first off, I gotta say this. I think you might have the most showbiz name ever. Like, it flows well, and I mean, like, it just makes so much sense. Have people told you that before?
Everyone thinks it's fake. I remember.
I also looked it up to see if it was fake. I'm not gonna lie.
I know we get that a lot. I always chuckle though, because it's like, it's on my license and everything. And I'll just show someone a picture of that.
Yeah.
But it is a great name to have. I feel like I had no choice but to do country music with that name.
I'm telling you, when I first found out about you, I was like, man, this guy's got a great name. It flows so well, and it looks great. It would look great on a billboard. You know what I mean? It's just fantastic.
I appreciate that.
You really should make like a logo with an eagle in there somewhere.
I know, that's like the main thing. We got a couple of them out there, like on the actual like show scrim, but yeah, we definitely want to milk the eagle. It's just right there, you know.
I love it. So you you grew up in Ontario, Canada, and I kind of want to just hear your story a little bit, and then we'll dive into the good stuff. I know a lot of it, but the people out there may not. And kind of talk about that upbringing, and the other thing, if you can cater it this way, and something that I always tell people that people don't really realize is country music is huge in Canada. There's a huge country music market in Canada. Obviously you've had a very successful Canadian career as well, but so just kind of talk about that, your upbringing in Canada and kind of how that led you here doing what you're doing now.
Yeah. I think Canada is kind of like its own wild west in certain places. It's very country. And with that comes the same kind of music that, you know, drives a lot of the rural work human being, or the blue collar worker. I mean, we got tons of those. But yeah, I grew up on a farm in a little town called Baileybro, which is so small. It's actually within another small town called Millbrook.
Wow.
Yeah. It's quite interesting. It's like so strange, but we're like on the mile marker where it technically turns into Millbrook, I guess. But so we grew up there. My family has been farming since like 1849 in Canada. So I'd technically be like a seventh generation if I wasn't doing the whole music thing. But this is kind of what God called me to, I feel. This is kind of what my heart wanted to do, and what is my passion. And, you know, someday I'll probably go back to farming.
Sure.
And doing that stuff.
I love it.
If I want to beat up the bones a little bit more than I am now.
I think it's great that one, like, you recognize that you could go back and do it if you really wanted to, but you have your own drive to go do something that you really want to do. I think it's really, really cool. Now, if you don't mind me asking you, is there when you're growing up, right? When you're growing up in Canada, and this is obviously coming from a guy who grew up in America, but when you're growing up in Canada, do you listen to country music and say like, oh, you know, I would love to go to Nashville and pursue country music? Or is there like, there's so many like really successful Canadian artists that I've never understood that path. Like for you guys, is it still Nashville, or is it still Texas, or is it something else?
It's definitely well-rooted. Like growing up, I always wanted to come down to Nashville and also Texas and kind of experience that. I have yet to do like anything in Texas, but I would absolutely love to, because I love all of the artists that come from there and the music. But yeah, no, Nashville's definitely been on the radar. I never really left Canada until I was like 21, or I think I was about 21, and drove down. A friend of mine named Steven convinced me to go, and he's like, you got to come down to Nashville, you got to sing. And I remember having my world change, because I was just a farm kid. I was still kind of doing that, doing the bar thing, and also working another job at the time, doing solar panels and
Wow.
whatever I could find.
Yeah.
But you know, that wasn't like real to me. I never, I was always very real with and practical. I never thought that music would take me anywhere. I was like, you know what, I need a steady job. Then I started, you know, singing out and doing that thing, and people started kind of paying a bit of interest to what I was doing, and that definitely put the fire underneath me to
Nice.
try the Nashville thing, and it changed my life. I you know, just seeing the talent and the skill set down here, and just how passionate people are about country music, it really changed my whole perspective on how real this thing was. It's such an incredible town, very driven town, very motivated to just release the best product they possibly can. So it was a no-brainer after that. You know, it's just a matter of how to get down here, because we
Yeah.
obviously made at the time most of our money in Canada, so we're like, can't really leave
Yeah.
this country right now.
Yeah. That's amazing. And you know what? Like, I think that it's there is something to be said about people. I'll say it from my perspective. So there is something to be said about people who go to Nashville and realize that the one, because like you and I, right? What is the one thing we love? The thing. I always preface it like this. This doesn't include humans, right? The thing we love the most in the world is country music, right? Or at least for me, that's where I'm at. So, you know, when I go to a place like Nashville and there's hundreds and thousands of people who all love the same thing, when I'm from an area where that's not really the case, like I walk around in cowboy boots, I wear my Brooks and Dunn t-shirts and my Cody Johnson t-shirts, right? And I'm really proud of what I'm passionate about. I'm really, really proud of that. And no one will tell me different. But you know, I walk down the street and out of 10 people, maybe I get one who knows a Cody Johnson song. You know what I mean? Like, so what I'm saying is that it's got to be cool for you as a person who actually plays music, from someone who doesn't, but from someone who actually plays music, to go to this place, and to kind of feel like you fit in right away, and that all these people are, they all have the same mindset. And that would, like you said, drive your inspiration to keep doing it.
It's I think after just playing music and doing, I was kind of sold after the first few shows I ever played. I was like, this is something that even if they're not listening, I still really enjoy doing this.
Yeah.
And yeah, that Nashville definitely has that. It plants that seed in you to get better. It's like, you know, if you want to, you know, be at this point, you have to work really hard at it. And the best thing I could say about Nashville is there's a lot of folks down here that really encourage you. They're really encouraging you. And there's a town full of people that wake up every day. They're doing something that they're passionate about for the most part. And there's not a lot of like towns like that anywhere in the world. So when
How cool
you're
is that?
there's, yeah, it's really incredible. You
Yeah.
know, you could be walking, getting coffee from somewhere, and the gentleman serving you might be a songwriter. You know, it's just so many talented people in this town that it just inspires you every day you wake up.
It's so cool because I think I was in town probably in August. Yeah, I think it was late August. I was in town for a couple of days. My brother came with me. I have family that I usually say this. I have family that lives in Franklin. So, my brother came with me, my girlfriend, one of our friends, and we went, and this is how I knew that, this is how I knew how cool the town was, right? Because, and I already knew this, but to see it firsthand was something. I walked, the first place I walked into when I got to Midtown, basically, I walked in Tin Roof, and I like I told you off recording, I've been doing this for 180 weeks. Got to meet a lot of people and a lot of different walks of life, and that's really cool. But I walk into the bar, and I knew the bartender. He was a drummer, and he was an artist, right? And he is, like, that's what he does. His name is Drew Dixon. He's super talented, and he bartends during the week at the Tin Roof. And I walked in, and I haven't talked to him probably in like a year and a half at this point. And he was like, Kyle. I was like, Drew, what's up, man? And like, we just like said hello. And he didn't know I was gonna be there. I didn't know he was gonna be there. And like my the people I was with were like, do you know that guy? I was like, yeah, he plays music here. So like, it's just so cool that like any normal person is probably chasing a dream and you have no idea unless you ask.
Absolutely. It's a lot of driven people, right? Like a lot of, I think that's why there's just such an appreciation for living here. Everyone is sacrificed something and is working hard to, you know, get to that next level. And it's just like, when everyone is like that, it's just so easy to get along with everybody. And I definitely feel that down here, and we just love it. It's culture's cool, really man. Awesome.
The culture's cool. You gotta love it. The culture's just so cool.
The fried chicken alone is enough to say.
Oh my God, right?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Like, talk about, you know how they always say, like, when you go to college, put on the freshman 15. If I moved to Nashville, I put on a freshman 50. Oh my God. There's the fried chicken alone. We went to Hattie B's, and I know that everyone's like, oh, like that's so like typical. We went though. It was great. It was so good. So good.
There's so many like incredible spots, but I think my first Hattie B's experience was not so great. It was great food, but in Canada, I don't know what it's up like up your way, but in Canada, they're like the hottest you can get. It's still bearable. Like you can kind of live with it. So yeah, I try to be cocky and get the hottest you can get. Oh, it was a miserable day. The following day, I won't get into the details. I'll spare you that. But it was, yeah. Ooh, I was sweating eating. I was just soaking it in ranch. I was like, I can't waste it.
I bet.
It was tough.
I bet, because everyone was telling me though, like, you should go really hot. And I think I like spicy food. For the most part, but I don't like spicy food where like it hurts. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So like there's a limit for me. And I decided to go with whatever it was. I think it was like the one in the middle, and they were like, why don't you go hotter? I was like, cause I'm going to pay for it later. Like, I know I'm going to pay for it later. It's going to be a miserable experience and I don't want to do that. So but it was really great stuff. And I don't know, the food there's great. Like up here, we have really good Italian food. Right. Like that's the thing that's like really good up here. And you kind of really don't get that if you go more south, or at least I haven't seen it yet. But although there is this one place in Nashville, I can't remember what the name is off the top of my head. Great Italian food, like really, really good.
I know what you're talking about. My wife and mother-in-law, they're Maltese, which is technically Italian.
Yeah.
It's same food. It's literally off the coast of Italy. But yeah, I know where you're talking about. Been there. It is incredible.
It's in Midtown, right?
I honestly have no idea.
I don't know where it is, but it's really, really good stuff. And it's like the only one that's like that good in Nashville.
It's like a one level restaurant.
Yes.
You kind of, doors are on the right side, if I'm remembering correctly. Yeah, I know where it is. It's good though. It's very good.
If anyone listening to this knows the name, let me know, because I want to remember it. Because I think I got to go back in like a month, and I want to go back there. So
we've been. It's good.
Anyway,
just Italian, go to that food. Place.
Yeah, right.
The place with the noodles, you know.
Noodles. Hey, you got noodles? Yeah. Okay, this is it.
Spaghetti, okay. Whatever you call them.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. You know, I want to talk about this record and the sounds of this record, but before we do that, I want to know, you have this very traditional sound to you, but there's a little bit of a modern twist on it, which I really like. But what did you like? What, I hate the word influences. I've always hated that word. I think it's like the worst question in the world. But in order to know like where this came from, I gotta know what you like to listen to on a regular basis, right? So I'm not gonna use the I word, but what do you like to listen to, even if it's modern day artists today?
I honestly love modern artists. There's a ton of them that I really absolutely love what they're doing and the songs are releasing, but my playlist, like on my phone, doesn't go really nearer than 1960. So
I love it.
It's very old, but when I do listen to newer stuff, I like, I'd say the 90s are kind of where I gravitate towards. And I'd say my top three in the 90s were George Strait, Alan, Randy, obviously. Those kind of guys, like the singers, and then Shania Twain, which is, you know, as a kid in Canada, she grew up, I think like 2 hours away from where I did, maybe three, in Timmins, Ontario. So it's, there's a connect when you're a Canadian artist. I'm sure that a lot of Canadian artists would say this, that Shania Twain has had a huge influence on them, because she did what we all dream of doing.
Yeah.
And she was the first person to do that since, I think, like Hank Snow. Hank Snow did it, like, I think in like the 50s. So it's been a minute since anyone's really blown up on a global level.
Yeah.
And yeah, so those are my main influences. And when you cross all of those together, you definitely get a, I'd say, very traditional sound. That's always what I'm shooting for. I think that country music, the most important thing about it is that the song, the story, and the artist are important, but equally as important is the instrumentation of said song. And you know, the steel guitar, the fiddles, all that stuff in the background is what makes a country song country most of the time. I do believe that there's other ways to get your message across and still be country. And the pop side of things, I think all those guys do a great job. But the stuff I'm very attached to, and maybe it's because I'm a bit soft, is just hearing that like weeping pedal steel or the fiddle. So that's kind of what I'm very drawn to, and what I try to base my music off of.
And I do. I that's how I feel too. You're pretty much hit the nail on the head. We're pretty much seeing eye to eye. I got to bring it up just because you brought it up. But you won CCMA, which is, right, Canadian Country Music Awards, right? That's CCMA's. That's right. Got it. Two C's threw me off. But you won Entertainer of the Year up against Shania, which is cool.
Well, I don't know how that happened, but it's.
It happened. Don't question it. Just let it happen. Guy, just let it happen.
Well, I think I don't think there will ever be a show that is as incredible as hers. I think that sure. I've been to them, and she's like, she's on a guitar case and like hundreds of feet in the air. I'm like, that's badass. Like, you
it
can't
is
beat
that. It is. It I'm, is. Did you watch her documentary?
Oh yeah,
it was great, right? I loved it.
Yeah,
I'm a sucker for documentaries and the stories of people that I love. And like, I don't read that much, but if I do read, it's biographies or autobiographies. So I love stories like that. And I didn't know a lot of the early life of her journey, her just life journey. And yeah. I was pretty like, wow, this is nuts. I have so much more admiration for her at this point.
Yeah. She's legit as they come. Like, she's had it. She had just the worst things in life you could ever possibly imagine throwing at her. And she trucked through all of that. I was actually lucky enough to meet her when I played in Switzerland. Her husband, lovely gentleman, lived down there, and I got to meet them, and she's amazing. She's straight up like hardworking, like farm girl. Like, when she shook my hand, I was like, this girl, she works.
Yeah.
She's got a very strong handshake. But you wouldn't think that by looking at her, right? But she's very kind, very sweet, knows all her stuff. She's very great at like working with horses. That's a passion of hers, and
really cool.
Just a very down to earth human being. And same with her husband too. So I was very, when they say don't meet your heroes, but that was definitely a moment that I'll always remember, is how much I look up to her, and just her solidifying who I thought she'd be.
That's pretty cool.
It was a pretty great time in my life. It was the same time I met Emmylou Harris too. So
oh my God. Just
knocking
them off one by one. Why don't you? Jeez, that's ridiculous.
I got back to my hotel room that night and called my mom. I was a little weepy, but we'll leave it at that. But yeah,
It's all right.
It's an amazing time.
Hey, listen, I always tell people, I said, I listen to sad country music to really get in touch with my soft side. And that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I think that's great. And I love to hear when people meet their heroes and people that we consider larger than life, that one, have other passions. I think that that's really cool. And like, have other sides to them. That's not just, you know, tunnel visioned on music, but I also just think it's really cool to meet those people and say, man, like she was really nice, and she was really down to earth, and she really treated me like just a human and not just like someone that's a fan. Right. Like, I think that's really cool. I feel the same way. Like, I met Garth Brooks years ago, and people always say, like, is he really that nice? And he really is that nice.
Oh yeah. I've heard he's an incredible dude as well.
Yeah.
So.
And like, we're in a room having a conversation. It wasn't like it was like a meet and greet line. Like, we were sitting in a room, like talking, and he wanted to know about me, and you know what I mean? So like, people are really that nice. And I think that that's really true in country music a lot more than you think. I don't know why, but it doesn't have that, like, and this is no knock on it, but like that LA vibe, because, you know, people in country music just walk around like, you know, I mean, maybe not this person, but even like a Morgan Wallen, like, walks into, you know, Big Loud every day and drives to Big Loud and walks in every day. You know what I mean? So like, and no one bothers them. So I feel like, I don't know. I feel like in country music, you know, there's a very human aspect to it. And that's why you get people that it
definitely
are.
Definitely is. You see quite a few, like, very well-known artists kind of at Costco. You've seen a couple, but you let them do their thing, and no one really bugs. You might nod your head at them. That's about the most you would do. Yeah. People are just living life, and you respect that. And everyone's just, like I said, it's one of those towns where a lot of people have good human values, and you can see that. It's just,
I think that's why I love this industry so much. I love the genre for that point. It's like, you listen to some of these guys, like, you know, there's probably someone out there saying like, oh, I'd love to meet Jade one day. Right. And like, they're like, oh, but what if he's, I don't know. Like, how do I, like, what if someone in Canada is like modeling their career after you? And they're like, oh, this Jade guy's really cool. Like, he went to Nashville and he did the thing, but like, you're such a down to earth guy. So it would make it even better. So I don't know. I love that about the industry.
I am after 6 a.m. and I'm ordering coffee.
We all are.
That,
We all are. We all are. That's all right. That's all right. How do you take your coffee? Are you? I'm a black coffee guy all the way.
I'm the same. I used to do lots of creamers and stuff, and then my uncle was like, "Just try it. Like, it's good coffee." And then I was like, "You know what? It's you're right. I'll do this.
Black coffee, a couple of Splendas, I'm good to go. I'm all right.
I feel pretty tough doing it too.
Yeah. You can do a long life, black coffee and light beer. That's the way I see it. That's it. I love it. All right. So this record, let's talk about this a little bit, and I want to dive into it. It's great. 13 songs. You had session players like Paul Franklin and Brett Mason on there as well. That's insane. So let's dive into that a little bit. Crazy thing. I saw Paul Franklin play 2 weeks ago with Chris Stapleton. And I feel like I was like the only one sitting there geeking out, and no one had any clue. And I was like, you guys are just like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Like, it's legend up there. But anyway, let's talk about this record a little bit, what it means to you. And we'll dive into a little bit. I'll tell you a couple of my favorite songs, and we'll go from there. But what does this record mean to you, and how happy are you to have it out right now?
The first couple of albums, I love everything we've done up until this point, but we just didn't really have a budget to have, a full band doing the thing. It costs a great deal of money, because they are the best in the world at what they do. So they, that whole thing, it costs a lot. You need mix engineers. You got like six guys in there, doing their thing. So it costs a lot of money. And this was the first time that we kind of were at the point where we were like, hey, we can afford this now. What are we going to do? And this is it's been a dream of mine to have this kind of music, and just do this kind of music. It's what I feel attached to. Mm-hmm. And it's the first time we're ever able to do it. So I was lucky enough to have met Brent, through, guitar lessons. I started taking guitar lessons, and, we kind of hit it off. He's such another guy, that absolute hero. I think he is still the most recorded guitarist in the world. And he's just the sweetest human being you could ever imagine. And I got talking to him, and I was like, hey, like, do you still like record on projects? He's like, what do you mean? I was like, do you still record? And he's like, well, I do every day. Like, I was just in a session this morning. I was like, well, shoot, I did not know that. So he started playing on stuff, just doing like the overdubs on the last album, Honky Tonk Revival, because that's where we're at financially at that point. And following for this whole project, we're like, we need to bring in a whole arsenal of these guys. And we used a couple of guys that we've been using since day one that are just absolutely incredible, like Tony Lucido and Jerry Rowe. And Charlie Warsham is done stuff for a few years, just kind of dropped. He's just insanely talented.
He's so good.
Takes me months to learn his guitar parts. He's just a monster and great singer too. He can do it all.
Great singer,
But
great writer, awesome.
oh yeah,
Dude, good dude.
yeah, he's great human as well. But yeah, like having Brent in there, he kind of I think might have put in a good word for me to have like guys like Paul Stewart Duncan, Larry Franklin kind of pop in there. And obviously we have like Janae on the fiddle for a few things, and Dan Dugmore came in. And we have a lot of great players on this, and you could hear that when you're listening. My dream has always been that I can listen to one of my own songs and just hear the steel and the fiddles, and just be equally as happy with that as the other side of the production. And I've been lucky to have all those people come in and work on this. It is truly a blessing. When I say that, I mean that wholeheartedly. Just being there, looking into the room, and watching them play stuff that you're gonna be singing on and be a part of was probably the coolest feeling I've ever felt in my career to this point. Just watching them three takes and have the most amazing sound you've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's truly amazing.
Jay, did you move to Nashville to pursue country music to make this record? Like, was this
Pretty
when
much.
you were there, was this what you had in mind?
Absolutely, yeah. It's always been at the forefront. I've been so blessed to have gotten to this point and do this, but I'm kind of in the stage of my career where it's like, hey, like I've been doing music that works and I still love, but I really want to dive into who I am as an artist, and those guys help make it happen. My producer, Todd, is just incredible at what he does too. He's able to take all those traditional sounds and still make them modern. He's worked with Noah Kahan and a few other people on the writing side, and also produces tons of people. So he's got a lot of experience in the pop world and the country, and he's very great at blending the two. So it sounds modern enough to work for the format now, but it's still being true to who I am as an artist. So I'm thankful to him for being able to cross those bridges.
Yeah, it's amazing. Listen, I think it speaks for itself on how great it is, and obviously it takes great talent to make a great record, and across the board that's what you have. And you listen to it, and you're right. It is very traditional, and the reason why, if you remember earlier, I said it's traditional with a modern twist, and I think that's what you get. You're formatting it to today's country music, but also you get all those influences that you hear, that you listen to, and I can hear them in itself. And I think it's really cool to be able to blend those two things, have this project that, at the end of the day, I think that as an artist, if it was me, I'd want a project where I could listen to it and say, man, if this wasn't me, like if I didn't hate listening to my own voice, I would listen to this project. You know what I mean? Right? And I think that that's something to be said about that, because you want to listen to your music and you want to be a fan of the music that you listen to and that you make. So to be able to hear you say that this is the reason you moved to Tennessee to pursue music to do something like this, that's awesome. That's so cool. And that's why I sit here and do this, to hear guys talk about how great and how much they love the music they make and love doing it. Like, that's what drives me. So to hear you say that about an entire project that I think is essentially perfect from top to bottom is pretty awesome.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Of course. What is your favorite song? It's like picking your favorite kid, but what's your favorite song?
Oh, yeah, that's
I gotta say, before I get that answer, I gotta say, to have the sneaky Steal My Girl on there, I listened to the Apple Music before the session, the Apple Music session before it was on here. Just such a curveball, but I love every part of it.
Well, it was Apple that kind of had that inspired that. They asked us to do a cover, and like on that track is my whole band. That's them just in a live studio doing their thing. So that was it's cool to have them on a project because people got to hear how good they are, and they're absolutely incredible. We
Dude.
travel with like six or seven people. We have a
Nice.
big band,
Yeah.
but that's how you make it country, right? But they got to play on that, and they pitched the idea of doing a cover. And in my mind, I was like, oh yeah, like it went straight to someone like Buck Owens or Roger Miller or something. I was like, yeah, let's do that. And then like, why don't we do like a pop thing? And my management sent a few songs over and I was like, I guess we can try this. Like, let's, if we're going to do it, let's go crazy. And it turned out the way it turned out. And it's a blast to sing. Like, you'd be surprised at like when you go and play these country concerts, how many people, like the guys, the girls, everyone is singing the song.
I bet.
Yeah.
Do you know the song prior to recording it?
I have a younger sister and, and they're just so big. Like One Direction is such
I'm not saying I didn't. I actually, as I got older, I started to recognize that I actually kind of liked a handful of One Direction songs. So yeah, I'm not sitting here judging you. Like own it.
They're so like, they are such talented writers and singers. Like getting to hear them in a new way. Cause like I'm always just pretty much pure country, or like if I'm working out, it's 80s hair metal or something. You know, when I listened to them, I kind of started listening to their other songs and just them as individual artists. And I was like, these guys are incredible.
Yeah. So, some of their stuff is really thought out and I actually really do enjoy some of it. And, but I love that that's on this project. And when it came out, I was like, there is no way that Jade Eagleson is putting out a 1D cover, but let's go. I was like, let's do it.
We had to.
It sounds so good, dude. It sounds so good. So
it was a fun one to do.
Can you tell me what the other options were for the songs? Do you remember like one or two of them?
Oh, I think I submitted a few that I wanted, and I know that I submitted like a Celine Dion song.
Oh, that's cool.
What else did I submit? I can't remember, but I know Celine Dion was on there. I try to sneak Celine Dion into everything because I think that'd be hilarious. Because I would, no human can match her vocal level. So I'm like, it'd be hilarious to try.
what was the one song that is just like insane vocally? Tonight when the wind was so cold, my body. It's all coming back to me now. That's what it
is. Yeah, that's such a great,
great song.
Music in that, like the way the piano starts, like the music video to that is like jarring.
It's like, doesn't it start with like boom and she just like hits the keys a couple of times and then just goes into it?
And then there's a guy on a motorbike. It's very like that era. But it's badass. You're like, this should be corny, but it isn't. It's very cool.
I think you could sing that song. I guarantee it.
I gotta try it.
I love it. So that's insane. So Let's circle back in. What is your, if you had to pick one of your favorite songs, and it doesn't have to be like your favorite, it could be for you, maybe your favorite one to sing or one that just means a lot to you.
I think the fun ones for me to play live, I can maybe do that one. Ones that I've been playing live and had a lot of fun with are like Could Have Fooled Me. Uh-huh. Telluride's been fun to kind of do.
I love that song.
It's such a well-written song. Yeah,
I love it. It's probably my favorite.
It didn't end up on the album almost. It was, we were finalizing the track listing and then Travis Wood is a good friend of mine. He's like, listen to these songs before you make any crazy decisions. And I listened to it. And I was like, I looked at the title and I was like, oh, this is going to be about some lady he left in Telluride or something. And then obviously the double meaning, I was like, oh, you sons of guns. Like they're so... It was great. So I was like, yeah, I want this song very badly. He's like, we'll have it. And the rest is history. But yeah, that one. And then Rodeo Queen is a lot of fun to play live. That is just, I can act a fool on stage and have an excuse for it.
I love it. Some Cowboys probably up there with me too. I don't know. I just love the whole thing. I think the whole thing is just a great mix of songs. You have some upbeat ones, a little bit slower ones. Like it's just a really good mix of songs. And I think that's so important. I was having a conversation maybe 2 weeks ago, a week ago, about because Riley Green put out that new album, right? And we were just talking about how, you know, consistently he's really good and everything he puts out is really, really great, right? And we think that's because you don't hear from him. Like the last thing I think he put out was a year and a half ago, right?
It's 4 years since an album, I know.
4 years since an album, but he put out that EP somewhere in the middle, right?
Yeah.
He put out that little tiny EP, right? So I don't know if that's like wherever that lies at, but we were talking about it and I was like, I think he's just so good because one, he doesn't just like pump stuff out. Like, you know how like the whole trend right now is like putting out these massive records or just like putting out a record and putting out an EP like right away. It's like you don't give time to marinate. And I think the thing is that one, he writes a lot of stuff, but he also picks a lot of stuff. And I think he just waits till he has the perfect songs to fit in a project. So you never listen to it and go, yeah, this record was just okay. Like everything is just great because of that. And I love that. And that's what I see here. It's just, and obviously, you know, to catapult your career, you have to keep putting music out, but I think you're choosing the correct songs for projects. And I think that's really mature.
I appreciate that. Yeah. It's like, it's how would you explain it? It's like being a running back. You can, sure, you can run the ball and you could catch it too, but your main thing is just smashing through the A gap or wherever you're running. But sometimes you have to run routes and you can do them good, but you know, it's probably best to leave that to the wideouts. And the same thing, same principle with songwriting. If you can get in there and run a good route or write a good song, sometimes you get that, but there's people that are doing it like 365 days of the year, for like 6 hours a day, and they're so incredible at it. And in that time frame, they have great songs.
Yeah.
So sometimes, like, I'm always happy and always try to write my own stuff, but I'm never against the idea of picking another song that I think is better. And for this whole album, like the way we had it was like every song I had on it, it was one that I'd written, and I was like, okay, I'm content with the way this album would be if these were all the songs. But then what I try and do is go out, meet with publishers or whoever else and try to beat my own songs. And that happened for a few of them. But obviously, if we can carry those songs over, they're not dead in the water. But, you know, you always try and beat what you've done. That's and cool. If you can do that, then, you know, you're in a good place. It's an incredible town filled with talented folks. And sometimes you have a song that was almost like it was supposed to be yours. But you know, you didn't have a partner in it, but
I say that all the time. I say that all the time. Cause you don't know how many, cause you know, I've obviously, with doing this, I've talked to people who have one song out or I've talked to people who have albums out. Right. There's just a big, there's a big gap of the type of people, which I think makes it really unique. But that being said,
anyways, it was probably a perfect example of that. I went in and I remember like listening to the first, like I think a verse of that song. And I was like, yeah, I'm cutting. We didn't even get to the chorus.
Sure.
And I was like, this is it. And it happened so incredibly fast. But it spoke to me. I was like, it's like they wrote it about me when they definitely didn't. They probably still don't know who I am. it's one of those things.
I think that that's great that you are at the point where you recognize that growth is really important and it's okay to write a song and it'd be really, really good, but then get another song and it'd be better. And you're like, okay, I'm going to take this one and maybe we'll put the one I wrote on something else. Maybe it'll fit better somewhere else. And I just think that that's really cool. And that'll, you know, for anyone that's listening that, you know, writes all their music and might think, oh, maybe they're a 19, 20 year old kid. Right. And they're like, yeah, to succeed, I got to be able to show everyone I can write everything. It's not necessarily true. I mean, it's really good to be able to write everything. Right. And, you know, at a young career, write a lot of your stuff. It'll just help you hone your craft in, but it's totally okay to say, oh, this song speaks to me. Let's go for it. So.
Yeah, I definitely think like writing helps get you through the door and stuff, but you know, a lot of great artists like George Strait, George Jones, Keith Whitley, like a lot of those guys, Randy Travis, that they had a lot of songs they wrote on, but a large percentage of them were songs they didn't.
60 number ones for George Strait, not a single one he had him written.
Yeah, it's really incredible. But he knows it's gotta kind of put your pride on the shelf and pick a song that if it's a great song and the writers are happy that you cut it, then you know you're in a good place. You're both.
There's also a talent to being a song picker, right? I would say that as well. Like you have to
sometimes. I've picked some weird ones.
Sure, but for all the weird ones, you got a couple of good ones too, and that's important.
Yeah, this whole album is I've I'm very happy with every single song that, you know, I didn't write. I'm very blessed and lucky to have cut all of them, and that it was allowed, because I'm very much in love with the songs. Like when I heard all of these songs, like the demos of them, I was like, I listened to them over and over again. I was like, these are incredible.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, that's just the thing. You listen to these songs, and once you fall in love with them, and you get, it's like, no one even knows this song exists except for me, and I get to cut it. It's a really cool feeling.
It's awesome. So awesome. Jade, if someone listening right now has not had a chance to listen to your project yet, what is one thing you hope they take away by once they get through the entire thing? What is one thing you hope they take away from it?
I hope they you know, can kind of connect with you know, the past of country music and kind of enjoy the modern feel of it as well. Like I definitely want people to listen to this and have an appreciation for you know, the heroes that came before. And there's a lot of artists out there that are doing the same thing as I'm doing right now, but it's cool. I just want, you know, them to listen to the instruments and feel the steel, feel the fiddle, and enjoy that side of it too, if anything. And that's what we tried to do on this whole project, and just kind of combine all of that.
I love it, man. I hope this project is life-changing for some folks who maybe want to chase that dream or want to play a certain type of music and they don't know if it's out there for them. I hope it inspires a lot of people, and I hope it gets a lot of people to dance. And I think that that's exactly what you have here. It's perfect. I love it. Man, thanks for coming to hang out with me. You're a humble guy. You're insanely talented, and you're just one down to earth dude. And I think that, you know, you've been doing this for a while, and you're very successful, obviously. And I just hope it just keeps getting bigger and bigger for you. So thanks for coming to hang. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. No problem. Anytime. Come on, hang back. You know where to find me. Let me know, and we'll figure
you
it out.
Gotcha.
All right. Fantastic. Everybody, you can go follow Jade on Instagram at Jade Eagleson Music, all one word. Go keep up to date with music and shows and all that good stuff. He's got a giveaway going on right now.
Lamley's. Yeah.
Lamley's. Thank you. Lamley's, Westernware giveaway. Pretty cool. And some cool stuff just overall over there on his Instagram. And like I said, keep up with shows and things like that as well. You can go stream, Do It Anyway. It's out now wherever you listen to music, and it's country as hell. So go stream it, go listen to it, go blast your speakers, make sure you blow them out, get people annoyed, because it's just so good. So, so good. But thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pause, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. It's there. Thanks for tuning in each and every week. I say this all the time, but I really appreciate it. And it's been a blast, and we're not stopping. So thanks again. And we'll see you next week. I'm Kyle. That's Jade. Bye-bye.